see. We are going to call to order the Senate Committee on Rules for Wednesday, June the 10th. What we're going to do is have a work session on House Bill 3232B. And I'll open the work session on House Bill 3232B. And what we need to do is do a rule suspension and then a conflict resolution and a small amendment to this bill. I don't believe we have any testimony scheduled for this bill, so I'll open the work session on House Bill 3232B.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended.
Hold on here. We'll have to be at ease for a moment.
Wait for Senator Burdick.
We need Senator Burdick.
Two-thirds.
Oh. Two-thirds to make rule suspension work.
She's on her way.
Who put that rule in?
So we'll be at ease. Yeah.
I wonder when that rule came in.
I vote aye. Okay. We're going to go back into session. We're in a work session, and Senator, to explain what we're doing here. As a matter of fact, I'll let the committee administrator explain what it is that we're proposing.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yesterday, we passed out House Bill 3232. It was later determined that there was a conflict amendment that needs to be adopted, so we need to reconsider the measure, bring it back before the committee, adopt the amendment, and send it back to the floor. And that is where we are at right now, and we do need Senator Burdick here because it requires a two-thirds majority.
For the rule suspension.
For the rule suspension.
Mr. Vice Chair, this sounds like about the best motion I've ever heard of in my life, and I vote aye.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate the vote of confidence. Let's reopen the work session, and we have a motion on the floor.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 3232B.
The Senator moves that we suspend the rules and reconsider the vote by which we amended 3232B. So let us ask, are there any objections to the motion for suspension of the rules? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which HB 3232B was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
The motion has been made to reconsider the vote by which 3232B was sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the DASP B10 amendments to House Bill 3232B.
The chair notes that the chair has arrived. The chair now passes the gavel to the chair.
Thank you, Senator Federoli. We do have a motion on the floor to send 32. Senator Metzger moves to adopt the Dash 10 amendments. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection to the amendments? Hearing none, motion passes.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on HB 3232 without the fiscal impact statement being available for review.
Okay. Senator Metzger moves that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on HB 3232B without the fiscal impact statement being available for review. This motion is undebatable and requires unanimous consent. Are there any objections?
Mr. Chairman, it is not about debate, it's about a question.
Yes.
Actually, it's sort of a remembrance officially. We, on your assurance that the fiscal would be prepared and eventually catch this, and if it turned out to be a minimal impact, then there would be no effect, and if it turned out to be greater than a minimal impact, it would be on your motion that we would move the bill back to the committee. Is that correct?
Senator Ferrioli, I would be happy to make you that assurances on this bill also, but I believe the bill that yesterday we made it twice. The other bill was Senator Metzger's bill, that we had to do the same thing. But I'll make you the assurances on both of them.
I sit corrected and I accept your assurances, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Okay.
No questions on the bill.
Any objections? Seeing none, motion passes.
Chair, I move House Bill 3232B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Metzger moves House Bill 3232B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussions? Any objections? Hearing none, motion passes. And unless somebody wants to fight over carrying this bill, Senator Monis Anderson has agreed to carry the bill. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, the relating clause of this bill makes it unnecessary for us to have any sort of fight over the bill.
Okay, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2403. Can the committee administrator give a brief overview of the bill and the amendments?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2403A allows law enforcement agencies to remove hidden compartment from a vehicle that has been forfeited and to be reimbursed for expense associated in removal and with removal out of proceeds of selling the vehicle. Defines motor vehicle with a hidden compartment as one modified to hide contents intended to be used to facilitate crime. We have this bill before us today to adopt a conflict amendment, the Dash A3 amendment. It resolves conflicts with Senate Bill 356, which is the bill that clarifies Oregon's forfeiture laws and incorporates changes to these laws to reflect enactment of ballot measure 53. We did receive a no revenue. We did not receive a fiscal statement on it yet, but it's before you today.
Okay. Do we have a motion on the Dash 3 amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the Dash A3 amendments to House Bill 2403.
Okay. It has been moved to adopt the Dash A3 amendments. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Do we have a motion to suspend the rules to vote without a fiscal statement being present?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of voting on House Bill 2403B without the fiscal impact statement being available for review. Mr. Chairman, I actually think that this is going to be a minimal fiscal, but if it turns out to be more than minimal, would you be willing to revisit the issue as we have in the previous situations?
Yes, I would.
Mr. Chairman, I have made a motion to suspend the rules.
Okay. It has been moved to suspend the rules so that we can send this bill to the floor without having a new fiscal statement available. Just for clarification for the record, the new fiscal statement would be probably to reflect the Dash A3s.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2403B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ferrioli has moved House Bill 2403B as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Simply hope, Mr. Chair, that there is no hidden compartment within this bill.
That would be correct. any additional discussion? Seeing none. Any objections? Seeing none, motion passes. I will now open a work session on...
Let's go to 3463 so we can get Senator Dinkfield to come down.
Okay. We're going to go to House Bill 3463. I'm going to open a work session.
Mr. Chairman, may I suggest strongly that you go to House Joint Resolution 7?
Okay. Yes. Can I will be, well, we'll be at, not really at ease here, but I'm just going to ask a couple of questions. It's my intent to obviously always to move HJR 7. We needed to clarify a few issues about ballot measure dates and a lot of other issues depending on relative to this measure and other measures. Have those been resolved?
To my understanding, Mr. Chair, those issues have been resolved.
Okay. With that, I will open a work session on HJR 7. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, if the motion is simply to adopt HJR 7 and move it to the floor with a due pass recommendation, that is my motion.
It has been moved to that HJR 7 be adopted and moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And Mr. Chairman, yes. May I, point of order.
Yes.
This, I think, is the only measure that we have not had the staff do a brief summary.
Okay. If she could give a brief summary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. HJR 7 proposes amendment to the Oregon Constitution relating to eligibility to receive loan from Oregon War Veterans Fund, removes the term war as it pertains to Oregon War Veterans Fund, removes ineligibility for qualified veterans out of service more than 30 years, and removes the state residency requirement for a veteran in the case of a spouse that is not remarried. This bill was originally in a public hearing on June 2nd. You will find there is a no revenue. There is a fiscal impact statement. Unfortunately, there was an error on the SMS, so we'll have to make that change, but it was distributed at the original meeting, and it came to you from the House floor on a 60-0 vote.
And can you characterize, Mr. Chair, what the error on the SMS was?
I think the committee administrator would be very capable.
Oh. It just doesn't reflect that there is a fiscal statement issued.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay. Mr. Chairman, my motion stands.
Okay, any additional discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Would our alternate member like to carry?
Sure, no problem,
yes.
Mr. President. Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
I have Bailey is here. So.
Okay. Close that work session. Open work session on House Bill 3463.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can we be at ease for 30 seconds?
Yes, we can be. And while we're at ease, can Mr. Bailey come forward and the committee administrator can get ready, but not start on the overview. Can you, committee administrator, give a brief overview? And before we do that, let's go back to 3463.
Yep, gavel back in.
Okay, I will gavel back in. Open the work session. And before us is 3463. After Mr. Bailey speaks, we will go to the -B14 amendments. Also, Mr. Bailey, Representative Bailey, if you wish to address the -14 amendments, that would be also good. And also at this time, I would actually ask committee staff to have Senator Burdick return from the Revenue Committee.
While we're waiting for Senator Burdick,
yes.
Mr. Chair, could we have that brief overview?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3463B requires notice to dealers with capacity of biodiesel production facilities in Oregon when it reaches certain facilities in Oregon reach a certain levels, prohibits the sale of diesel fuel that does not contain specified percentages of biodiesel after a certain date, deletes provision allowing specified percentage of other renewable fuel diesel in place of biodiesel, places 2-year moratorium on applying standards to other renewable diesel, makes changes applicable to biodiesel production in Willamette Valley effective on or after August 1st, 2009, and the remainder of the state on or after October 1st, 2009. You have the -B14 amendments, which replaces sections of Legislative Assembly findings, finds that it would be premature to establish required percentages of other biodiesel renewable diesel for sale in Oregon given the lack of technology and standards, finds that it would be that it would not be in the best interest of encouraging development of a market and the means for production of other renewable diesel to implement a ban or prohibition, whether it is produced in Oregon or another state, finds that given the market and means to produce biodiesel fuels, it is an inappropriate exercise of Oregon's police powers to regulate the production, use, and sale, and to require specified percentages of biodiesel be contained in diesel fuel, reinstates State Department of Agriculture's direction to adopt standards for other renewable diesel, applies renewable diesel standard to other renewable diesel effective January 2, 2012. There is a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact on the Dash B14 amendment.
Okay. Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Chair Devlin, Vice Chair Ferrioli, and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jules Copel Bailey. I am State Representative from House District 42. Thank you for opening a work session on House Bill 3463. The broad overview of House Bill 3463, it's a simple bill that relates mostly to biofuels, and the bill comes through the House Environment Water Committee, through your Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and has been referred back to the Committee on Rules from the floor of the Senate in order to make a technical fix to the bill. House Bill 3463 is intended to ensure that Oregon's biodiesel producers and that the agriculture industry behind that biodiesel production in this state is able to get their product to market. And it alters the triggers for the renewable fuel standard for biodiesel such that it matches the triggers for ethanol production and integration in this state. It's a fairly simple bill that has only as one component of it renewable diesel. However, because of the nature of the fix, most of the discussion you hear today is going to be about that renewable diesel component. But I would urge you to bear in mind that the overall bill is about allowing the tanks of biodiesel, which are now full here in Oregon, to start flowing, and it is, at its essence, a jobs bill. The reason it was referred back to this committee from the floor is that after leaving the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee, there was some question about whether or not the preamble language that was added to clarify why there is a timeout on renewable diesel in the bill, whether that preamble language precluded the state from adopting any kind of regulation on renewable diesel during that two-year timeout. That was not the intention of the bill. We simply wanted to exclude from inclusion in the trigger renewable diesel during the time that technology is in development. And I want to be clear that at the current time, no renewable diesel is sold in Oregon. It's not produced in Oregon. There was only one state that certified it in Texas. It is no longer for sale there. This is a technology still in its infancy, and we wanted to give it a chance to develop before we started allowing it into the trigger for the RFS. That said, in the meantime, during that two-year window, we did not intend to exclude it from any kind of standards or regulation that the state might enact. The opinion came back from Legislative Council, as we expected, that the preamble language did not preclude the regulation of renewable diesel. However, in reviewing that preamble language, they found another section of the bill that did have that effect, much to our surprise. So we referred it back to this committee and produced what you see before you, the Dash B14 amendment. Legislative Council, after looking at the legislative opinion that we asked for, crafted the B14 amendments to address that issue and to ensure that we are not prohibiting the state from exercising its duty to enact standards and quality standards in that interim, that the bill applies only to whether or not renewable diesel is part of the trigger mechanism for the renewable fuel standard. It's a fairly simple fix. We believe that this does fix the bill, and that is what we've heard back from Legislative Council. Should be ready to go, and with that, I urge your support to send it back to the floor so it can be voted on. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions?
I do. I'm still a little confused about the renewable. Excuse me for it. The Dash B14 is, according to our notes, addresses this issue again, and of other renewable diesel. So if we adopt the Dash 14, what is the status, like I said, it might be the best way, in your view, of renewable diesel? I realize we're not commercially doing it right now, but I'm talking just in terms of what we can or cannot do. What would be the status of renewable diesel in this state if we adopted this with the Dash 14?
Chair Devlin, Senator Metzger, great question. If we adopt the Dash B14, my understanding is that the state, for a period of 2 years, that renewable diesel would not be included in the biodiesel component in the RFS. It would not be a substitute for 2 years under that provision of the RFS, but that if it were to be sold in any other capacity, if a dealer was to choose to sell it because it was a superior product or it had a niche market, it could still legally be sold in the state of Oregon. There's no prohibition against selling it in the state of Oregon or on the state adopting standards for its sale. It simply means that for 2 years, while that technology is developing, we need to get those tanks flowing for biodiesel, and it will not be included as a component of the RFS, is my understanding.
Okay, and so then, if I could follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Why wouldn't it be included? I mean, right now, it's like it doesn't seem to be, it's not even existing. So what would be the motivation to say, and by the way, even though you don't exist, we don't want you to count towards the renewable standard? What's the meaning for that? What's the reason for that?
Chair Devlin, Senator Metzger.
For the 2 years. Yeah.
There's a policy answer and a process answer. I'll start with the process answer first. There were significant negotiations on the House side with representatives from the petroleum industry and representatives from the biodiesel industry around this issue. Some wanted it out, some wanted it in, and at the end of the day, we found a solution that those in the negotiating team that we thought would be a happy medium between those two, that we're not outright prohibiting it, but that we thought we had a bill that could move forward, even though neither side loved the solution, that perhaps this was a compromise solution moving forward. The policy reason for coming to that decision, Chair Devlin, Senator Metzger, was that the because renewable diesel has not been available in Oregon, that it made sense to give some certainty to the market around what the components that were going to be in play for the next 2 years were going to be, so that we could get that biodiesel that's made in Oregon flowing. And in the meantime, once that's flowing, then there's that certainty that, yes, those producers are going to be producing the quantity of fuel necessary for the inclusion in the RFS. And after that point, if the technology is available in renewable diesel, then we can look at that. And without action by the legislature, that would automatically become part of the standard.
Okay. Thank you.
Any additional questions? Thank you very much, Representative. Thank you. What we're going to do now is I'm going to close the work session. I will come back to it when another member returns to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And I will open a work session on... We'll be at ease for just a moment until...
Right
here. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3090. Will the committee administrator give us another brief overview of the bill and the impact of the -A7 amendment?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3090A defines solar energy system as a device, structure, mechanism, or series of mechanisms that use solar radiation as source for heating, cooling, or electrical energy, including a device, structure, or mechanism for radiant drying of clothing in open air. Prohibits provision in instrument conveying or contracting to convey a fee title to real property, a prohibition on use of solar energy systems, or restriction on orientation or use of such systems in a manner that impairs effective operation, authorizes owner subject to such provisions to file petition to remove provision, declares void an unenforceable provision in declaration of or bylaws of a planned community or condominium that prohibits or restricts use of solar energy systems, specifies the owner is not authorized to install system in or on common property or general common element, allows a provision that establishes reasonable restrictions on size, appearance, or location of systems that do not appear effective. Dash A7 replaces the measure, defines renewable energy source as a solar panel device obtaining energy from renewable energy resources or a clothesline or other device that uses solar, wind, or other renewable energy resources to accomplish household tasks. Prohibits the provision of a declaration over bylaws of planned community or condominium from prohibiting the installation or use of renewable energy device on the owner's in or on the owner's lot, unit, or in or on limited common elements reserved for the unit, applies to agreements entered into after the effective date of this act. We do have a no revenue and a no fiscal impact on the Dash A7 amendments.
Senator Dingfelter, please start at any time and know that if you receive any questions about this bill that you do not believe are serious, they were not planted by the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm State Senator Jackie Dingfelter, District 23, and thank you for hearing this bill. We ran out of time in my committee, the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee, and one of your members is very familiar with this bill, and I can see that he's diligently reading the amendment, the Dash A7 amendment, which replaces the bill. As your committee, ABLE committee staff mentioned, this does completely replace the bill and makes this bill prospective. The discussions that I had with members is the concern that the original bill negated existing contractual agreements, and that was the main concern that I heard. So what this bill does is move forward and say that in the future, for any new developments, that a clothesline would be allowed. A couple of things, just for the record, you may know that a typical dryer is the second most energy-intensive appliance in a home, and it makes up about 10 to 25% of residential electrical use. The average family dryer basically uses about $85 a year in energy, and so by using a clothesline instead of a dryer, a family can save that. What this bill does, obviously, is not require anybody to use a clothesline, but allow folks who are living in or wish to live in the future in an area that is condominium or planned unit development. Obviously, on private property where there's no covenant, it would not apply, such as in my backyard. It ensures that Oregonians can use clothesline and solar energy at their homes and will help to reduce energy use and reduce energy bills. The reason I had a lot of questions about why this was written in this current form with the renewable energy device, and you could ask the legislative council person who drafted this, but what was explained to me is it is already an existing statute that a CC&R cannot prohibit a solar device. In other words, a solar panel cannot be prohibited for a condominium or planned unit because of statute that we passed quite a while ago, or I should say our predecessors passed. So what the original bill was just to add clotheslines to that. And the concern that I heard from some of my colleagues was that that's breaking an existing contractual agreement. So what this amendment does is fix that because it's only for the future and would not affect any existing existing CC&Rs. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. If you have specific legal language, you may want to ask Harrison from LC to come up here as well, since I am not an attorney.
Any questions for Senator Dingfelter? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here. Okay. And so that you know what's happening after this, we'll be waiting for Senator Burdick to return.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, I'll just make a comment since I don't know exactly where you're going on this. I support either one. I support the bill the way it is. So yeah. If you want to make it prospective, I'd support that too. I think it's time we air our clean laundry.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator
Dingfelt. Thank you. I'm going to go back to Ways and Means and vote on the energy budget.
Okay.
Thank you.
I will temporarily close that work session, and we will be at ease until we can get Senator Burdick back here. Okay, I'm going to reopen the work session on House Bill 3463A. Do we have a motion on the Dash B14 amendments?
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash B14 amendments to House Bill 3463A.
Okay, the Dash B14 amendments have been moved for adoption. Is there any discussion of the amendments? Yes, Senator Ferrioli.
Mr. Chairman, this is the replacement of the bill. And I thought that the findings were really interesting. The findings are that it would not be in the best interest of encouraging the development of market and means for production of other renewable diesel to implement the ban or prohibition, whether it was produced in Oregon or another state. It's premature to establish required percentages. Mr. Chairman, we've had not a very good experience with the implementation of ethanol as a fuel additive in Oregon. Matter of fact, I hope there's a bill moving through this committee that will allow an alternative to ethanol-only fuel in Oregon. But the proponent used a phrase in testifying in favor of the bill, much to our surprise, was the phrase that he used in describing the issue of the reason why he had to completely gut and stuff his own bill. And the much to his surprise was, in fact, that the findings were at odds with the facts. So when you align the findings with the facts, what we should not do is distort markets and require percentages of renewable diesel to be mandated here in Oregon at this time. The bottom line is that putting the implementation date off is also an indication that that's probably not the most intelligent thing to do, because the effective date of the renewable diesel standard would be dropped off to 2012. So, Mr. Chair, I'll be a no on this bill.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Okay, can the clerk please call the roll on the amendment?
Chair Boquist.
No.
Senator Burdick.
Aye.
Senator Metzger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Ferrioli.
No.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. Is there a main motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3463 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, House Bill 3463 has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any additional discussion?
Just a comment,
yes.
Mr. Chair. Just for the record, I heard this in the previous committee that it came from, and at that time we were provided a legislative council opinion that indicated the bill was okay if it was not about economic protection or protecting the industries in the state of Oregon. Given that and the confusion, I'll be a no vote, too.
Okay. Any additional? Can you please call the roll?
Senator Boakley?
No.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Senator Ferrioli?
No.
Chair Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would serve notice of the intent to file a minority report.
On 3463?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me see 3463. Okay. Now, for the sake of close the work session, but for the sake of carriers, I'm going to ask the committee administrator, asked one of the chief sponsors of the bill, Senator Nelson, if he would not carry, to ask Senator Rosenbaum to carry. Okay. We're going to... Senator Burdick, can you stay for about 4 minutes?
Okay, Mr. Chair. Yes, that's exactly how much time I have.
Okay, we will be at ease for a moment. I am going to open a limited work session on House Bill 3090 for the purpose of consideration of the Dash A7 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash A7 amendments to House Bill 3090A.
Okay, the Dash A7 amendments have been moved. Is there any discussion?
I still like the original bill better, but okay. I'll support those, Mr. Chair.
Me too, Mr. Chair, even though I moved it.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Any objections to the Dash A7 amendments?
Mr. Chairman, no objection, but I don't think you can fix this bill.
Okay. No objections?
Well, this is much better than the last one.
Okay. Motion passes. I'm going to close the work session now, and this will be back up for potentially further consideration either tomorrow or the next day. I just try to space out my minority reports. Okay. With that committee, our work for today is completed. We will be back here again, hopefully tomorrow, but it's all subject to whatever the schedule is on the floor.